The following is an historical article from the BVA Bulletin, March 1947, Volume 2, Number 3. It is a pure and unedited recreation. Please enjoy this piece of BVA history. Do you remember a cool March morning at Avon when the air in the quadrangle was fresh and crisp and the 8:30 gripe session hit a new high in attendance? Did you realize that the BVA was to grow out of that meeting? Do you remember the new atmosphere of interest in the gray stone Red Cross Lounge when Pinky Hoffman yelled for attention? Everyone will remember that particular 8:30 meeting as the birth of the BVA and the morning on which Virgil Coleman did not cuss out the old farm's officers over his laundry. Do you remember how the BVA lived at Old Farms because it was poverty-stricken and very light on the membership side, the first office the BVA could call its own, and how it consisted of a desk in one corner of Baynard Kendrick's kitchen at the Gundy Tea Room? And remember the many dreams about the future of the BVA which were discussed in that same kitchen. This was about the time when the byword at Old Farms was, "Who dat?" And Dick Freeling held constructive discussions, quote-unquote, on any and all subjects on the quadrangle lawn and under the protective branches of Big Bertha. It was then that Big Bertha acquired many of her dents, and the era when the rear of Father Carroll's automobile was adorned with a sign proclaiming, "Danger, this car is driven by a blind priest," and just before the time when Captain Moriarty stimulated several cases of heart failure by almost stepping out of the second-story window of Dorm I. This was the time when Tommy Boyle enjoyed his heyday as Commander-in-Chief of the ETI. Then came the era of marriages. Everyone seemed to decide to have a crack at it at the same time. Everyone, of course, but Pat Adams and a few other diehards. It must have been shortly after this that somebody got a typewriter. This caused quite a sensation until it was discovered that the fellow's uncle was Senator Goofus of Pennsyltucky. Of course, things have changed now, and even dark glasses and white canes are within the realm of possibility, if you know the right people. Do you remember the BVA's removal to a tiny office on 17th Street in New York, an office loaned by Baynard Kendrick and staffed by Mrs. Kendrick, and when more than three of us congregated there, we overflowed into the Teamsters Union office next door? Do you remember the first regional group meeting in Baltimore in the spring of 1946, when Irvin Schloss organized the men of Baltimore into a regional unit? The regional groups began to form in all parts of the country shortly after that, and then the BVA moved into its present office at 80 Warren Street, New York, where everyone sweltered through the summer and dreamed about electric fans and Venetian blinds. Do you remember the annual membership meeting at the Hotel Lincoln in New York, where members attended from as far away as Chicago and even South Carolina? All the old stories were retold. Civilian clothes had changed the general appearance of the membership. A few seeing eye dogs and new wives made their appearance. Months have passed, and this was many miles of red tape ago. By the next anniversary, BVA will have many more things to remember. Let's hope their remembering in 1948 will be as pleasant.